Lord, that you set this time apart, and we want to set ourselves apart to you, like those five loaves and two fish. Just pray you'd break us and use us, and really bless this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we have a few new people just jumped in. So can some of us share what are we doing this weekend in general? Yeah, go ahead. The eight signs of eternal life. Okay. Which means what? Anybody in the back? Go ahead. Spiritual life, yeah?
We get to eat, kicked around bread, get dragged in sleeping bags, and carry water with feet.
Carry water with feet, eat bread that's been squashed with feet. Get dragged around with sleeping bags. Now, why are we doing all of these things? Go ahead. Yeah. So all of our actions have something, even if it's a bit of a stretch, they have something to do with one of the signs or miracles. Now, there's a theme verse I've been reading each time, which is in John, what?
20,
verse 30 and 31. Can somebody read it for us or quote it from memory? Philip's got it memorized. Go ahead. Nice. All right. So there's lots of signs. Now remember, a sign is a miracle. So in the Gospel of John, the miracles are called signs. But there's lots of them, and not all of them are recorded in the Gospel of John. Actually, some of them you can find in the other Gospels, and maybe there are ones beyond that that are not recorded at all. But the eight that are recorded in John's Gospel are recorded for a purpose. And the reason they're there is so that way they would point us to a direction, point us to believe, to trust in Christ, and to receive eternal life. And as believers, we read them, and we not only have believed and have received eternal life, but we need to live in the believing experience today. We need to live in the eternal life experience right now, live in the good of what we've got. So we actually can, if you're a believer, you can discover something about eternal life that you can experience now, that you can practice. You discover the way it works and how it is. And you also discover how the old life is. So you can tell sometimes, even from backtracking and looking at your day or how the last few hours went, what kind of life was I living? Was I living the Christian life by eternal life, or was I living by my old ways, my old life, my own strength? So each of these signs teaches us. There's a teaching that goes along with it. And there's an experience to be experienced. The one we just went over was the blind man being healed. And what was the activity that we just did with that one?
We didn't do it.
We didn't do it. Oh. Okay. What was the meaning of the miracle, though, of the sign? Are you raising your hand or scratching your hair?
Hair.
All right. Here. Go ahead.
Talking about, like, how we can be cleansed of the darkness because, like, we're all looking blind from that, but we have to get the spit with the mud and rub it on our eyes so that we may see.
Awesome, yeah. And so Jesus said, I'm the light. And when there's darkness, you run away from Christ. But when you actually come to him, look to him, believe on him, his life, the very eternal life that is his life, is the light of men. So that's written in the scriptures. We mentioned in John 1:4. In him, in Christ, is life. But his life is the light of mankind. And wherever he goes, even when he walked on the earth physically, he enlightened everybody. Even those that rejected him. They rejected him sometimes harshly because they were exposed out of darkness. All right, so we do have an action item to do with this. And what we've done is we have prepared an obstacle course in another room. And we've got some blindfolds. And what we're going to do is... So we're going to play a game. We're not going to spit on each other's eyes. Or use any kind of mud or snow. Instead, we're going to be blindfolded. You're going to get in little clumps of teams, and you've got to lead your blindfolded person through the obstacle course. You can't touch them. You can only tell them what to do. Go ahead.
Why don't you continue to blindfold?
Like if you have Superman eyes? The blindfold is toilet paper?
No.
Not that. You can blindfold.
The toilet paper is for another miracle.
Oh,
don't say it. All right, all right. So we're going to try to do this one kind of briefly because we've got, how many more miracles do we got?
Three more
and at least two for tonight. That's right. All right, so let's walk quietly to, Philip, can you lead the way and show us what room to go to?
3-1.
Bring your spit and mud. Hey. Glad to have you back. All right, I need some blindfolds.
No, but like, sorry, Paul is here.
I know.
All right. Me too.
Sorry.
Take one of these. You don't have to put it on. You just have to hold it. Can you hold that?
Hold it. These for like sleeping.
Yeah. Can you hold this? Can you hold this?
Don't touch it.
Can you hold this?
Sleeping mat.
I really need a sleeping mat. Put it
right. Wait, how many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We need 6 groups.
You're like a ninja.
Yes.
I can see the light.
6 groups. Okay, hey, can you go on the other side of the room? Can you be in his group? Hey, man, good to see you. You've got to be old. That's not bad. You're helping. All right, can you be in his group? What? Do you guys have a group? Can you guys move over here? We have to start at different places. Awesome group? Okay. Can you guys move to this corner? All right, are you guys in a group? Sort of?
No idea.
Are you girls in a group? Do you have a blindfold? I think we're not very even. Can you join those guys over there?
How many?
Can one of you guys join them? Can you volunteer over there? Okay, thank you. Too many. Okay.
Put that down.
Guys, so listen up. Hey, over there. May. All right, everybody look this way. We did a terrible job getting our numbers right with groups. It's my fault. We should have numbered or something. Where does the obstacle course start and stop? We don't actually know. I don't actually know how it even goes. So what you got to do in your group is choose the obstacle course yourself. And what's going to happen is you as a group are going to tell whoever you blindfold where to go. And you can't touch them. You just tell them straight, stand up, crawl down, go left or go right or whatever. Hop, whatever you tell them to do. Shoot the ball 3 feet or whatever you want them to do. Try to get them, though, all the way around the room once and then get another person to go. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
We don't have to, huh? I don't actually know what all the obstacles do, so you have to make it up inside of your group, okay? Okay, are you guys ready?
Yeah.
You guys ready? Do you have a blindfolded person? You have two? Who has too many? Give me one of those blindfolds. Give me a blindfold. You'll get to go.
Everyone's going.
1, 2, 3, 4. I think we're okay. All right. Set. Blindfolds on. And.
Remember, you have to go in a circle.
You guys have two?
Yeah, I have to figure out.
Take another one. You have to split your group up a little bit. Hey, can one of you girls join this group? Can one of you guys join this group? Can one of you all join this group? Can one of you all join this group? No? Okay, all right. Then stay there. Guys, blindfolds on. Blindfold. Ready, set, go. Tell your person where to go. Tell them where to go. You got to lead them around the room. You gotta take him all the way around the room. Take him around the room. Has she made it yet around the room? Are you gonna switch? Good job. Is it like turning in on the lights when you take the blindfold off? Good job, good job. She made it all the way around? Have you gone around the room? Not yet? All right. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Careful. Okay, okay, good job, everybody. Let's get the room to look normal. We gotta. We need our cans, and we need the sleeping bags to go back to the other room, and we need the tables in the center of the room. They're Phillips. Roll that up?
Roll it up?
Your house? Or zip it up at least? Let's get the tables in the middle. Thank you. Can we grab them? Back in the class. Okay, can you bring the sleeping bag? Right. Bring this to our class. Can you shut the windows?
How am I supposed to know? I totally forgot about it.
Okay, that's alright. Just bring it back to the class. Okay. Did you throw trash in here?
No. I thought so.
It is. Shh. Okay. Could you see through the blindfold?
I saw under.
Did you turn? Close your eyes.
I saw a shadow. Yeah, I didn't see anyone.
But how clearly could you see?
I can see. Really
confusing. What? Chaos. Yeah. That's what it's like when you're blind and people are telling you what to do. Trying to tell you the direction to go and how to get overcome obstacles, and it's so confusing. Not only because you can't totally see so well, but also because you hear so many voices telling everybody what to do, right? So it's kind of a cool picture of the blind experience spiritually, right? All right, now there's another miracle for us to do. It's in chapter 11. See if you can find it. Another sign. We're in John's Gospel, chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, you're going to need one. There's one in the back. Who's got it? You got to take the blindfold off. What is it? Lazarus. Okay. What verse does it start on? One? This is the best. When it starts on verse one. He died on verse 1? Are you okay? Are you climbing out the window? Is this something we said? All right. Do you guys know how to spell Lazarus? Lazy Arus? Oh, Lazarus. All right. All right. That's freezing. Okay. Okay, so let's as a group from our memory tell the story of this miracle, this sign. Go ahead. Such an embarrassing experience. They buried him wrapped in toilet paper.
Linen.
Yeah. Okay, he came out of the tomb. What happened before he came out of the tomb? How does this? All right, he died. Good. All right, death comes before resurrection. That's really important to know. You can't do resurrection unless someone's died. He was sick, and then what? Already dead. All right. Any other notes that anybody remembers from the story? Go ahead.
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Ooh, that's good.
Verse in the Bible.
Yeah, who has it memorized?
Jesus.
You guys all memorized that verse? Man, we're ready for like the Bible B. Okay. So Jesus wept. Why would he weep?
Because he loved Lazarus.
He loved Lazarus. It actually says that, yeah. The one who you love is sick and he's dying. And then Jesus got up immediately as soon as he heard it, and he ran to go find Lazarus. True or false?
False.
He waited. And then what did people say?
He said no.
Eventually they said that. wait, Jesus said, like his disciples were questioning, you know, shouldn't we go now or what?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then he said that he wanted to do a miracle
of God. Okay, what were you going to say? Yeah. All right. So they had faith, like, if you had come earlier, you could have healed him, right? Because they've seen him heal people. But you waited, and now he's dead. And even the disciples, when they talked to Jesus about this, what was the conversation like? Does anybody remember from the story? You can cheat, too. You can look. What? What about before they got there?
Then,
with the disciples?
The disciples wanted to go. Wait.
They wanted to go?
They wanted to go, but then Jesus said that if you ask something, it will be given to you.
Okay. Well, Philip, what are you going to say? Except for one, because he was a ninja. All right, so he's like, we're ready to die. But Jesus said, he's sleeping, eventually. And they said, oh, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better. Great, because whenever you're sick, everybody knows you need to sleep extra. We're cool. He's like, no, he's dead. That's actually what he says. I mean, because they didn't understand what he meant by sleeping. Yeah, it's like, you don't get it. He's sleeping. Sleeping is a term used for believers when they die because they're going to wake up. Because they don't die eternally. They will live forever. So he used that phrase, he's sleeping, but he actually meant he's dead. Then he comes, and they call him the one that he loves. Now Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they had a home where Jesus would go to often. When he came near Jerusalem, he'd go out in their home and stay there and eat with them and be with them. They really had a special place in his heart, actually. And so special that this is the time recorded when Jesus cried. Jesus wept because Lazarus had died. And then, so let's skip to the part where after he wept, can you guys find that in verse 11? So he's there. They said, oh, if only you had been here earlier. You could have done something. Then what's he say? Does anybody find this? Okay. Let's check out 21, because we want to get the teaching of this one. Let's start at 21. Let's start in the front row again. Just we'll read a verse, okay? Can you go?
Lord, Lord, what's just to Jesus? If you had been here, my brother would not have died.
But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask.
Dear sister, your brother will rise again.
Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Keep going.
She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ and Son of God, even he who comes into the world.
Okay.
And after she had said this, run back and call her sister Mary to come. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you.
As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and said to him.
Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him.
Then the Jews who were with her in the house and counseling her, when they saw that Mary had spoken and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to leave there.
Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been there, my father would not have died.
You know, in Hebrew, those two words sound really close. It's like Abba and Aha. So you say, yeah, so it's pretty close. And they actually spell real similar. So Ab and Ah is like this. So sometimes they get them backwards. So here's Ab, and then here's Ah. See how you can get that confused? So sometimes the people who copied the scriptures, they got them wrong, and then people who got that version of the Bible were like, his father? Caused a lot of problems. There are some odd places in the Bible that have issues like that, on who slayed Goliath, and on how old Saul was when he became king. It says he was 4 years old. So we're assuming it's a copyist mistake because he was 40, not 4. I'm 4 years old. I'm a head taller than everyone else. Maybe Goliath, but not him. So, yeah, good mistake to make, father or brother. All right, who's next? Jesus wept? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
All right, where's it at? What verse is it? 11:35. Okay, so you guys not only have to remember the words, you have to remember where it's at. John 11:35 says? Good job. All right, I'm going to test you tomorrow and see if you got it memorized. Okay, who's next? You guys get what's happening? They're moving a stone. A guy's been dead. They didn't embalm him with like the stuff that we put in people now to make them smile when they're dead. He's just dead and he's decaying and stinky. So they move the stone and then suddenly everybody smelled, and then what happened? Who's got the next verse?
believe, you will see the glory of God.
So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me.
I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said, so that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth.
The dead man came up, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his waist. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Nice. Okay, let's stop there. I think before we get into the teaching of it, we probably need to have the visual of this miracle, right? So, do we have enough toilet paper?
Yes.
Okay. Huh? Not for everyone to get wrapped. We need to be in teams, I think. And we're going to... If you don't want to get wrapped, you do not have to get wrapped. Okay. Shh. Split into groups of three or. Okay. All right. Groups of four. Groups of four. Four. Let's do four. Got it? Four or five people. All right, let's distribute the TP. One, two, three, four. There should be four groups or so. Hey, helper. Wake up, dead man. Let's pass them out. Huh? Give each group a couple.
Yeah, one per group. You want to do one per group? Or?
Huh? You want to do two per group?
That'd
be kind of funny.
We have that much.
Look at how many we got. You think? Let's see. Two, four, six, eight. All right. Right?
Yeah, we have eight.
Yeah, we have eight.
Four groups. Can we do four groups? That looks right. Or do one each?
If we're doing, like two per group, then we can only have eight.
Okay. How many groups we got? It looks like four. Four. All right, that works. Okay. May, you want to join this group? Can, guys, can May join your group? All right. Guys?
All right. Okay. Good. Good. Let's do this.
You can wrap more than one person in your group.
Here. Wrap it. All right, everyone, settle down. Settle down.
Hey, Philip, can you shut the door? You can wrap two people together. Okay, go ahead and start. Start wrapping.
No, we have to wrap them together. Start.
All right, back to back. All right, that's great.
Wait, they are separate groups.
No, you guys, you have to join a group.
You have to join the group.
Come over here, come over here.
Join your group, join your group.
No, first ahead, first ahead.
What are your good two people?
No, we have four.
One of the groups have, like, one more extra person.
That's
I guess they're...
When are you guys going to get wrapped? Hey, guys. Take these guys in your group. Can you wrap one of them, too? Can you wrap three?
Okay, three. All right, Steven, you're getting up.
Yeah, Steven, get it.
Get it. Who wants to
We're going to take votes on the best wraps, the best Lazaruses. You're already done? That's not Lazarus, that's Mary. You've got enough to wrap them, yeah. You guys got to go faster.
You guys really got to go faster. All the other groups are doing it fast.
Go, 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 faster. Yeah. Go faster. You guys should go the opposite ways.
No, I ran. Great job. I never ran.
Philip. I need you to do the fish.
Now?
Yeah. So that way it's ready before our next one.
Wait, okay, so how we, so like, count out 153?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I can do this.
Do it.
After
we do
the spiritual way. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 17. Wait, do you really need more toilet paper?
Right. Oh, awesome. Look at that. Take some pictures.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Should I start taking this out?
I think we can only do 4 groups, okay?
Okay.
With the fish.
All right, I'm opening it.
All right, yeah. Don't eat it all. I need you to pop these. Can you guys breathe?
Should I wash my hands first before I do that?
I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Make sure
they can breathe. If you can talk, you might be all right. All right. Yeah, I know. Oh, this is nice. Look at that. You're so... Tomorrow, we're going to look at all the pictures of them and make a vote. Mummy's down.
We even put over her face because there was a napkin.
So you're getting pictures of them when they're done? Okay. So we'll vote on them tomorrow. I like this one. She moved. The dancing dead girl.
Don't move.
I think you only finished.
Do we have the rest of that?
No.
We're not done.
Are you guys out?
You know how expensive this is? It's like $5 worth of toilet paper.
Man. We should, like, not let it go to waste.
We should
wipe our noses on them. Okay.
No,
don't rip. Did we get enough pictures?
I'll get a picture.
Did you get pictures of these guys? Okay, is everybody ready? Everybody.
No, you guys have enough.
You guys look great, actually. Okay. I'm going to count down from 5, and then you're going to have to bust out of your mummyhood. Ready?
You go that way, I go that way.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bust out! That was good.
Oh. Let's help clean up. Everybody,
need some tissues.
Hey, clean up.
Oh, now I have to clean up. Can I wipe my butt with this?
Yeah, save it for later, though.
Okay.
This is on the recording, you know that.
I actually...
You guys can keep the toilet paper if you want. I don't need it back.
I actually have... Why do you want toilet paper? You can always use your...
Nice.
Making more of a mess.
That was fun.
Oh, is that the phone?
Okay, once you, if there's extra toilet paper, let me see it. You'll see. Oh. I think I'm gonna fall. Okay, guys, let's come in. Let's get back in your seat, back in the Bible. I don't know why everybody's so hyper. I'm really shooting myself in the foot by doing all this, huh? We haven't had anybody fall asleep yet. You're getting wrapped up. All right. It's too early to fall asleep, is that what you said? All right. Whoa, okay. So we have a great visual now in our eyes of what Lazarus might have looked like if they used toilet paper at that time as grave clothes, right? It kind of looked like grave clothes in a way. Yeah. So I don't think he was wrapped up and connected with anybody else, but I thought that was kind of cool how the guys did that. I don't know if he was wrapped to a chair, but that would have been interesting. You're like tied up to a chair. In your grave. Okay, so let's calm down. Shh. Remember, I will flip you if you talk too much. Okay, so now's the time for me to talk and not you guys. Including Philip. Philip, you just have to use sign language in the back. Okay, no blindfolds right now. I mean, at least poke holes in it or something. Okay. All right, this is a sign that tells us two things. What does it tell us? Or what does it point us to? According to John 20, 30, and 31, what is this sign for? Anybody know? Go ahead. Okay, now how would this resurrection miracle of Lazarus teach us something about eternal life or teach us something about our old life as well? It's a contrasted thing. Go ahead.
For our old life, it's kind of like Lazarus decaying in the grave, and then Jesus will resurrect us and
enter an eternal life. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? Any other things you could glean from or catch from this sign about eternal life or about your old life from this miracle? Philip? Shh. Guys, they're doing something else. Pay no attention to the men behind the curtain back there. Okay? They're counting 153 fish. It's very hard. All right. Miracle is resurrection. Pretty awesome. From the story, though, I want to bring something out for us to consider. Jesus wept. This is Lazarus who he loved. He really cared for. People were confused. Why, if he loved him, didn't he come and heal him? He could have healed him before he died. Why didn't he do it? So there was some confusion and some heartbrokenness, almost like a type of deep anger or sadness that happens when there's a loss like this. He died and you could have healed him if only you had been here, if only you had not delayed and you came. There's a confusion, like, do you really love him? Did you love him? But when Jesus is there and people are crying and he sees the situation and he sees about Lazarus, he loved him and he even cried about it. He even wept, a deep crying. And this can happen with us. When we're going through a really death-like experience, spiritually or in life, it's like, if only God had helped me, I would be healed. If only he would show up, this would rescue me from this case or this hardship or this trial that I'm in. Why doesn't God come and do something? Why doesn't he change this? Why is he letting this thing happen? But if Jesus had healed him, we would have not had this sign to teach us. If it had healed him, Lazarus would have not had this discovery. And the discovery is what Jesus said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha, when they're talking to him about it, they're like, yeah, we know you're going to raise him eventually in the kingdom. But he's like, no, I'm the resurrection. Jesus taught. Remember how he said, I'm the bread? And everybody's like, what? This is another one of those, like, what? He said, no, I'm not going to raise him from the dead. I am the raising him-ness. I am the raising him stuff. I'm the resurrection. It's not a future thing. It's right now. And, yeah, right now, Lazarus got raised from the dead. But the lesson was, Christ himself is the resurrection. If you have him, you have resurrection life. I am the resurrection and the life. So we learn something about eternal life. Eternal life, the nature of it, is resurrection life. The very life that all of us receive is the life of Christ after he rose from the dead. He couldn't give eternal life to everyone until after he rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he saw his disciples, and this is in the Gospel of John, and he saw them and he breathed on them and he said, receive eternal life. Because he rose from the dead, he was able to share eternal life with everyone who believes on him. So, every believer that's ever received eternal life has received the eternal life that has gone through death. Remember, because Jesus rose from the dead. This is one of the miracles, one of the signs that we'll look at tomorrow. That's the sign that we'll look at tomorrow. But his life is resurrection life. It passes through death and always comes out. So the discovery is, he's the resurrection. Now, so this brings up a question about his love. When we're going through a difficult time, and it seems like, does God love me? Does God care for me? Is this because he doesn't care? Why does he delay? Why is he waiting days? It's often that we go through these experiences to discover that he's the resurrection. You feel like everything's dead. You feel like even spiritually you're dead. You wish he would just touch you and zap you, and then suddenly you're back to spiritual excitedness. But you're dead. And the circumstances seem to be like you're dead. And what happens is when he steps in, when you look away to him, life comes out of death. And you discover something deeper of the Lord. You discover he's the resurrection. You discover that even though things are so hard, even though it seems like all is abandoned, it seems like I'm all wrapped up in these grave clothes and I can't get out by myself and someone has to unwrap me or something like this. Not like you guys, you just like burst it out. That was toilet paper though. It seems impossible. It seems like you're already decaying and this is just like God just doesn't love me. Suddenly when you meet him, you discover the whole time he just wanted to bring you into a deeper spot to know him even more and to know that his life overcomes death. Not just physical death, it overcomes deadness in all these things. It overcomes that spiritual death that you can get sunk into. It overcomes the circumstantial death. You're going through something that seems just to be dead all around. Like, now this is impossible, and I just lost my friends, and I just lost my this or that, and I have this trouble and that trouble, and this person's mean to me, and this person made fun of my hair. Why are you guys laughing? You have all these troubles of death. And because of looking and believing on Jesus, resurrection life rises up. Though they laugh at your hair, you have joy in your heart. Resurrection overcomes it. And there's a Bible verse that says, death has been swallowed up in victory. And where, oh, death is your sting? The thing is, death got swallowed up in victory because Christ is the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. So this is a Christian experience regularly. When hard things happen, if you live by eternal life, it will go right through the hardship and come out alive. So even though there's some death type of attack or death type of experience, the resurrection life never stays dead. It always comes out. It's the nature of the eternal life. It's resurrection life. So this is something for us to discover about it, to meditate on, to consider with our miracle. When you're looking at pictures of yourselves wrapped in toilet paper, you can think about this. He's the resurrection. It's how we're able to live an overcoming Christian life and not live a dead Christian life. Dead in sins, dead in failures. Even you feel like, I want to serve God, but I'm so dead, I can't even do it. But he's the resurrection, and the resurrection life can rise up out of death and actually do it and have the strength for it. All right, now the last of the eight We're going to skip number 7. I already told you guys what it was, though, didn't I? What is number 7? Number 7 is in chapter 20. What is it? Number 7? It's his own resurrection, right? All right, so tomorrow we'll spend the time looking at that one. We're not going to do any silly thing on his own resurrection tonight. No activity. We do have an activity for the last one. The last one is in chapter 21. Who knows what miracle happened? Go ahead. A lot of fish. How many fish do you guys think it was? Over 1,000? 153? That's an odd number. How did you know it's 153? Oh, did you know it was 153? How'd you know? Oh, it's in verse 11. So that's kind of cool. They actually counted the fish that they caught. Right? 153 fish caught. This is after the resurrection of the Lord. So let's check out the story. Who can find it? In chapter 21, the masked man has found it. What verse does it start on? 11. Okay. Where did we leave off reading last? Who was it? Okay. So you read? Okay. So you want to go? Is that okay? All right. Okay, now hold on 1 second. Before this happened, because we could backtrack, but most of us might know the story a little bit. Jesus had risen. This is his time when he kind of is restoring Peter as well. But they tried fishing. They didn't catch any fish. He's off on the shore, and he says, put your net on the side. And their net is like so big, and there's so many fish coming inside of it. And then John's like, it's the Lord. And then Peter's like, throws off his coat and mostly naked, just jumps in the water and swims to the shore like, it's Jesus, and rushes to the shore. And then the other guys got the paddle and got there as well. They might have beat him, I don't know. But anyway, Peter crazily just jumps in with his love reaction, you know, like, it's the Lord, and he jumps in and goes to the shore. And Jesus is there with fish and bread, like cooking breakfast for them. They brought the nets in, and then they counted these fish, and it was 153 fish. So the miracle that happened was they had been fishing a lot, no fish. Jesus said, throw the net down, and boom, all these fish jumped into the net, and there was a lot, 153 fish. You guys with me? Okay. So actually, it's good where we started, kind of, because we want to see more of the teaching of this, or more of the sign of it. So let's go to the next verse. Let's see what happens with this. Okay, that's good. We can stop there. All right. Can somebody explain what just happened? The dialogue here? What was going on? Can you explain it?
Every time Jesus
Good. Anybody else have anything they noticed from this? Any stuff? Does everybody's translation say love for all of it? Okay. What's yours say?
Oh, mine's the
yeah. Or sheep. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? A lamb is different than a sheep, right?
Yeah.
What do you say?
A teacher, like, one of the teachers told me, like, in English, it's all love, but in, like, Hebrew, it's, like, different levels of love. Like, it's, like, agape, and, like, philo, philia, and then, like, the romance, and, like, yeah.
Well, in this case, it doesn't use the eros one, but it does use the other two, yeah. Yeah, agape and filio are two of the words used for love, but they're a little bit different. Go ahead.
Eros is storge.
Eros is what?
Eros is romantic love, and storge is like family love.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a C.S. Lewis book called The Four Loves. It's pretty cool. It goes through those ones, the four love words in Greek. In this passage, it is kind of cool to know the two, filio and agape, in understanding kind of what's happening. So let's try to read the part with the Greek words stuck in. How did this giraffe get back here? I had just erased it. It's like giraffe number three, right? Whew. All right. Okay, so we got agape, and we got filio. All right. Let's see. Does anybody filio? So filio is a type of love that is like brotherly love or like attachment love. How many of you guys have siblings? Okay, your sibling, even though if they're not lovely, you still filio love them. Now let me explain before you say no. It's not a mushy-gushy feeling. It's not even a selfless, sacrificial, I'll do that for you kind of love. It's more like, yeah, that's my brother. You're attached. You're, even though you hate each other sometimes or don't like each other sometimes or definitely don't like them as much as some other people sometimes, you are attached to them. It's your family. So it's a brotherly type of love. And it's a type of like, I'm stuck with you. You know, it is my sister. It is my brother. We've argued for 4 years, but yeah, I love him like a sister, you know. Now, this other kind of love in the scripture, agape, so I'm going to put here brotherly love. I'm actually going to put attached, okay? Attached. And some, you spell attached with one T or two? That's how we do it in Kentucky, too.
There's a T before the
CH. Huh? Oh. Now we got it. Good job, guys. All right. And then agape is like a... What? Attachacha?
No.
You want a T over here? Tachachacha! You guys! This spelling is really a problem. All right, all right. Tachacha. All right. Who came up with this word? Agape love, in the scriptures, the way it's used, is this love that's divine, that's from God. Did we say something to offend Philip? Okay.
What?
He had to go to... Okay. All right. Agape love is selfless love. It's love that reaches the height of God's love. It's not love that you naturally have. It's love that only comes from God. So there's a verse that says in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. And that kind of explains, and that's somewhat agape love, but that kind of explains how agape love works. Godly love first comes from God. He loves you. And then you're able to love him back if you receive his love. But how do you love him back? With the same love that you received. You love him with godly love. Because you've received it inside of you. How did you get it inside of you? Because you have eternal life. The very love of God is inside of you, and you can love back with godly love. Now, Peter's experience is really special. He loved the Lord Jesus with all of his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with every ounce of love he had in his being. And at the time, he didn't have eternal life. Earlier, not in this spot, but earlier, he did not have eternal life. And one time, Jesus was saying, I'm going to go to the cross. And then Peter said, even if everyone else fails, I'll never fail. I'll never turn away from you. I'll never deny you. Even if I have to die with you, I'm here. And he said this in Matthew 16, and Jesus said, you're going to deny me. What's going to happen before he denies me? After he denies me? Rooster's going to crow, right? And how many times is he going to deny him? Three times. And Jesus even told him ahead of time, this is going to happen. Peter's like, you know, determined, never. When they came to get Jesus, remember, Judas had abandoned him. Judas came to with some soldiers and betrayed him with a kiss, kissed him on the cheek, and whoever he kissed, that's the man. And Peter whipped out his sword and started slicing like a madman, so madly, you know, because maybe he's a fisherman, not a swordsman. He sliced someone's ear off. Do you guys know that guy's name? Cephas? No, that's Peter's name in Hebrew. What? Malchus, yeah. So he slices off Malchus's ear, and then Jesus picks up the ear. It's kind of gross. Like, and he puts it back and heals his ear. He reached over and touched his ear and healed him. He healed him. His ear was fully restored. All these soldiers are there. You know, when they actually first show up, they say who they're looking for, and then he says, I am. And then they all fell down, all those soldiers. Have you guys ever read the stories? These are at the ends of the Gospels, the four Gospels. But when they came, he said, I am, like I am he, right? But then they all, like, fell down on their faces. Just the power of, like, I am, like, you know, it's like, it's actually an expression of God, like, I am that I am. This is God's, even his name, you know, in the Old Testament. When Moses said, who do we tell everybody that your name is? Philip, can you shut the door, man? He said, intermission. Those other classes are wild. I'm glad we have the Calm Cat class, right? You say you can smell the goldfish? Yeah. All right. So Jesus said, I am. They fell down. And remember, this whole stuff happens with the ear getting healed and everything like that. So Peter is boldly faithful, loves his master, willing to die for him. He just showed it. He, like, had a sword. There's only, like, two of them with swords, I think. And then there's the sons of thunder, which could just thunder, like, by praying, and then thunder will come down. Anyway, so he's ready to fight all these guys with weapons that would probably beat him up. Sliced off a guy's ear, which probably shows his swordsmanship skills. And then Jesus said, don't fight him with the sword. If I wanted to, if it was God's will, I could call and a whole army of angels would come and fight. So it wasn't the time. It was actually the time for him to go to the cross to save mankind. So he had to go to the cross. It wasn't an option. But Peter loves the Lord. Then Peter follows. This is kind of dangerous. Him and John probably get in. But they follow close enough to where they can still see stuff that's going on. And Peter's warming himself by a fire where there's a group of people. And then that's where he denies the Lord. A young girl, it says a slave girl, is asking, you have an accent like him. Are you one of his disciples? And he said, I don't know the man. And he did it even three times. Even at the end, he's like swearing, like, I swear on my mother's foot. I'm not. I don't know him. No, but then what happens is when he cursed and swore like this, Jesus looked at him, it says, and his eyes pierced through to him. And he heard the crow, the rooster, and says that he wept bitterly. He went away crying in total repentance and remorse. And Jesus had restored Peter, but this is when Jesus restores Peter in front of everybody else. This is when Jesus kind of solves this failure and sets it up. So three times, Peter did what? So three times Jesus asks him a question. He says, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that selfless, sacrificing, godly love that would lay down its life for his friend? And Peter says, Lord, I filio you. You guys catch that? Second time he said, and then Jesus says, to help his lambs, right? Was it to feed or to?
And I said to feed.
Feed the lambs and then?
And then feed my sheep.
And then tend the sheep. Is that right?
Well,
shepherd?
This is King James.
Awesome. Okay. So, Lord, I filial you. I'm attached to you. And my translation actually says, I'm attached to you. I'm stuck with you. Now, at this point, Peter is broken hearted. I mean, he's had his bitter weeping. After his failure, he realizes, I'm not as awesome as I thought I was. I don't love the Lord with this amazing godly love that would lay down its life. I've proven that I failed. In the time when he needed me the most, I denied him before nobody. And I denied him three times. And so he knows his failure. He knows his place. He knows, in reality, I don't have that kind of love. I can't live up to it. But I am stuck with you. And then Jesus asks him again, do you love me? Agape, love me? Do you love me with that godly love? Peter says, I'm attached to you. The third time, what happens is, Jesus says, are you attached to me? And then Peter was brokenhearted. He's like, Lord, you know I'm attached to you. You know all things. It really is true that I'm at least attached to you. And at this point, Jesus said, restores him. He's like, take care of the sheep. Now, what's happening is Peter was exposed. The sign shows of your old life, you can't love with that response of godly love. With eternal life, you can actually respond with godly love, but there's a secret to it. And the secret is feed the lambs, feed the sheep, shepherd the flock. Each time when Peter is speaking of his failure and the Lord's exposing his failure, he's telling him how to experience eternal life, how to experience agape love. And the way is to love God's people. If you love God's people with godly love, it only works one way. You have to receive God's love, and then by his grace, by eternal life inside of you, you can love your brothers and sisters. You can love others in a selfless way. Now, what happens in the church, and what happens especially if we're younger, is we cluster up and get attached to certain people that look the same as us. So if you got no hair, you're in the no hair club. If you got cool hair, you're in the cool hair club. Whatever, there's little groups of friends, and sometimes we don't even want to be around the other ones. But in the church, you have to drop it all. In the church, you have to have the experience as brothers and sisters, not just friends. In the church, it's not friends you can get attached to. It's like a friendly kind of love. Like, I really like them, and they're just like me, and we really get along, and we're kind of stuck. We're two peas in a pod, buddies. But in the church, it's like, oh, that terrible person, I love them with godly love. Now, to do that, it's impossible, except with God, all things are possible. This is only possible with eternal life. So what Jesus is leading Peter into, to be able to say, I love you with agape love, is the training ground is the church. And in 1 John 4 and 5, it also talks about this godly love. And it says, if you can't love the people that you see, your brothers and sisters, then how can you say you love God? You can't have that kind of fellowship with God, a love fellowship, if you won't receive his love and express it to other people. So this eternal life that we receive, this love life that we have with the Lord, we say, oh, he loves me so much, and I just love that he loves me. The way to grow in it and share in it and walk in it is to actually love others. So step one, pray for people that you don't like. That is a real love step. Now, Jesus did say one time in the Sermon on the Mount, like, pray for your enemies. Now, you may have some frenemies in the church gatherings. You may have some people that are kind of friends, but they're really enemies, and you might be their enemy, but they think you're their friend, but instead you're talking about them, and you're really stabbing them. Pray for them. If you want to experience eternal life, try this. Pray for those that you don't like. Pray for those that are difficult. And as you pray for them, the Lord's love, his eternal life, is the only thing that can actually work with this. Even to be able to pray for them, it probably will take you calling on the Lord for his grace, saying, Lord, I don't even care about them to pray for them, but I know your life is inside of me. I believe on you, and I want to experience the godly love. I want to not only realize that my own life can only go so far, but I want to actually go all the way and experience the love of God. So this is a real thing. Now, each of us has to come to a broken-hearted point like Peter. There has to be a time in our life, hopefully, you want it to be sooner than later, where you give up your striving and trying and your confidence in your old life. Peter's old life, he said, I love you and I will chop someone's ear off for you. But when it comes down to it, he failed. And you will fail and fail and fail, and the lesson from your failures is, I'm attached to the Lord, but that's all I got. It's good that you're attached. That shows there is a certain heart grasping for Christ. You want to be attached to him. But then, by God's grace, he can say, rise up and care about my people. Love them, and you'll be able to love me back. Because if you love them, you'll experience my love flowing through you. And my love will become bubbling up inside of you where you can actually really fellowship with me in this love life. Okay, now I want us to remember this story and the miracle with the fish and all of this. And whenever we think about this with the fish and the experience, we want to really remember the talk that Jesus had with Peter, this miracle. Remember, Jesus is then making breakfast on the side. Remember, there's a fire, and Jesus is like, do you love me more than these? Remember, Peter was at that fire, warming himself up when all these people were asking him, are you one of his followers? And she's like, do you love me more than just the stuff of the world, more than this warmth of the fire, more than the comforts of life? Because I'm attached to you. All right, so our activity for this, you can only volunteer for this if you're not, we're going to use the same groups, but one person from your group has to not be allergic to peanuts, okay? All right, now you can pick it out in your group. Now listen up. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Listen, you're going to grab half of a peanut butter jar. Someone's going to in the group is going to scoop out half with their hand. Yeah, yeah. Follow me. Okay, then this is called Attack of the Fishes. Okay. So, what's going to happen with the whole half glob of a can? Your team has to decorate the person's face. So, all right. So, girls, you may want to add a guy to your group. All right? I mean, make sure you have a girl in your group that will do this. Shh. So, listen, don't put peanut butter on their eyeballs. Don't put it inside their ears or in their hair. In their mouth if they give you permission, but it's a little gross. All right. You can eat it. All right, don't eat your team's peanut butter. Is that what you're saying? You have, this is what I can do with one fish, okay? You guys are going to have 153 fish to decorate the face. All right? Now, they have counted out four teams of 153 fish. Right, guys?
Yeah.
Woo! All right, now, this is going to be voted on tomorrow of who has the best decorated fish attack face. Okay? So, go ahead and get in your groups. Okay, only try to get half, okay? It might take a couple of you. Go for it. You might have to do. You can do a few scoops, guys. Do some more. Just get half. Okay. All right, guys. Get about half. There should only be four. We just had four.
Yeah, but Daniel left our team. Daniel, you left our team.
It's okay. We've got. I think they're just getting fish, right? Are you on this guy's team?
No.
Whatever, just leave it.
Okay, just take half. Guys, go get your fish also.
It's country style.
You're starting. Take your fish.
Wait, take your fish.
How are we going to get these there? Let's see. Put back in. You got it?
Yeah.
All right. Take that to your group.
Hey, I'm Lauren.
Get your goldfish.
Can we eat one?
Only four groups. Don't eat the fish. Don't eat the fish. Don't eat the fish.
Wait, don't eat any fish.
Wait, why are you eating fish?
You're breaking your own rules. Don't touch my face.
Oh, your team has to decorate you. You can't do it. Oh, I like your mustache. What? Are you guys all the same team?
Yes. No.
Where's your fish at? There's only four groups. Oh, you got him there? All right. Guys, oh. Be careful, be careful. Are you okay? Are you okay? We're running out of trash room, huh? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. It's four groups, right? What group are you guys in? We got an extra group, is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right, get them some fish.
Huh?
Get them some fish.
Some random fish?
Yeah. Guys, go get some fish from him. Where's the buck? Yeah. Just don't hurt him, guys. As long as he's okay with it.
Wait, where are ours?
This is yours.
Oh, these are ours?
Yeah.
Well, how do I do this?
High five. No. I don't know. Somehow you guys are going to have to pick those out.
I don't have a team.
Okay, where's your team? Go with that team in the back. We create another team for you. I know. They got peanut butter excited and. How you guys doing? Are you guys eating it all? Okay, now after this, you guys have to eat it off his face.
Ew, that's disgusting.
No, don't do that. I know, that's gross.
Yeah, my nostrils.
No.
Okay, put on your brakes.
Looks good. You guys need more peanut butter.
Yeah, I know.
I have peanut butter.
Right, yeah, give him some more. You gotta let them stick peanut butter in your face. Oh, you got a bunch here, yeah.
I don't know how to do this.
May, you're looking great.
Watch it.
What?
And this is color coded also. Wow. Green forehead. Yes, you do. I hope you don't get in trouble. Do you guys think you can fit all fish on your head? Are you running out of room? You're doing good, buddy.
No, don't do that.
You need more peanut butter, girls. On your fish, yeah. You can put it on the fish, yeah. Oh, awesome. This is nice. We better take some pictures as they're doing it.
Okay.
Hopefully they won't all fall off. Nice goatee.
I'm sorry.
really good?
No, like in the center.
No.
I'm sorry.
You quit?
No,
everything is balled up.
You guys need a lot more peanut butter.
How?
A lot.
You have to do it in big clumps. Yeah. Grab some more. Do you guys give up? Look at these others.
Joshua!
It's a big wad. Take. Philip, take pictures though.
I did.
All right. Before they all fall off.
They all fall off.
Yeah, let's get this one before it falls.
No, they were going to put a horn, like a unicorn.
Go ahead and get one. Yeah.
Don't take the picture yet.
All right.
Lots of it. They just need a lot more peanut butter. What'd you say? Oh, you bit your tongue with what? Oh, okay. This is a good clump of peanut butter right here. This is good. She got them all. Yeah. She's okay with it. Ask her though. Wait, you said no. Does that mean you don't mind? Make sure she's okay with it, though. Don't do it.
Yeah. May, do you want them to put it on your neck?
No, yeah. Okay. That might be hard to clean off. I don't think they can. Too many.
Try to eat as much of it as possible.
Well, 153 is in the Bible.
True.
they can eat after.
Yeah. The other part. You can eat the extra. Smooth would have been better, right? It was a dollar more expensive. Smooth. Creamy would have been better. Oh, these guys are doing good. Look at this. Whoa, that looks like natural. That doesn't even look like it's put on.
We're having trouble with the peanut butter.
They actually look like a face. She's very good.
I'm looking around.
Wow. Don't make her
no. It's a Greek.
That'd be really bad.
Are they done?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, guys. Last time for a picture. Go around and take pictures because the adults finished early. The adults finished early. We got to go fast. Finish as quick as you can. All right, grab your competition pictures. You can just take a whole bunch of stuff and on them.
Close your eyes.
Don't hurt him, though. Philip, take the pictures, man. Take the pictures. All right, get them all real quick. It's the last picture. All right, you guys are free to eat fishes if you want. Those. And you're going to have to help her clean off her face, too. Okay, you're free to clean your hands and wash up.
Wait.
Class is dismissed.
So much for acne.
Yeah, we're all going to show up as this tomorrow. Nice. I like it. This is really good.
We got to clean this up.
Eat it.
Yes, you might. This is a good nighttime snack. Yeah, eat some fish of your 153.
We need to go get a brewmaster.